man, Rab.
Or fix.
Or fix, okay. I thought next would have been even funnier. Remember that the next time. Thanks. I think it was Emily, one of the guest poets, who said that she believes in the power of creativity for healing. Am I correct in that? Was that in the introduction? Yeah. So,
Misha
was it? Meet your twin here. So my creativity has been massively important to me, but I'm going to read poems about love tonight, not about my mental health. It's good to know that depression is alive and well in the UCC school. Good to know the creativity future of Ireland is on solid ground. So I'm going to frighten Jim now and say I'm going to read five poems. They're all short, you can stop me whenever you want. So they're all poems written using song titles of artists. My creativity has blossomed into actual record covers. So they're all here. I won't tell you, well, I will actually. I'll tell you the first one was written using song titles of Paul Simon, who is the man who first gave me goose pimples when I heard words put in certain arrangements. This is called Beautiful Tenderness. Sunny afternoon, feeling groovy with old friends. My heart and bones slip sliding away as sparrows spiral highway patterns over a cool, cool river. And spirit voices rewrite quiet questions for the angels. Nobody thinks too much about leaves that are green or the sound of silence on such a sunny day. But everything about this is a love song. And how the heart approaches what it yearns when late in the evening, the 7 o'clock news bookends a church is burning. With a most peculiar homeless man in gumboots and a poem on the underground wall about a clock stranded in a limousine. Wednesday morning, 3 a.m., homeward bound after a long, long day. My heart and bones slip sliding away to a dazzling blue satin summer night and blessed love dangling between father and daughter. The next ones are really short. I started writing short poems because I wanted to fit them onto the record sleeves. I didn't think that would get a giggle. That was great. For those of you Britney Spears fans, this is called I'll Never Stop Loving You. When I found you, I got that boom, boom deep in my heart. And an untitled lullaby I know was the answer to my only wish to breathe love on me. And when we kissed, my body ached. And I got the urge to run away with your love forever. She definitely didn't write that about her father anyway, we all know that. And on to Taylor Swift, you are the one. Jeez, she's been great for him. You are the one. Hey, gorgeous, the moment I knew this love was mine, I changed, became fearless. And a wonderland of peace and happiness for the blank space and half of my heart. That day was a fairy tale, gorgeous. Your beautiful eyes met mine, and the story of us found an enchanted place in this world. So long live our song, for two is better than one. And I'm only me when I'm with you, living our wildest dreams. Right, we get a bit raunchy with Rihanna. Don't even try leaving tonight when I feel hypnotized by the adrenaline of sexuality. Let me woo your skin with red lipstick, stay close to you, talk that talk until lost in paradise. I know the never-ending fire of your love. And finally, Mr. Ed Sheeran, otherwise known as Marmite. I love you. That's the title of the poem, not me talking about Ed Sheeran. I'm so in love, I'm addicted to your smile, the shape of you, the perfect photograph of your hand in mine. I'm so in love, when nightmares wake me up, I turn to you to save myself. I'm so in love, everything you are, we are, sings be my forever in my bloodstream. I'm so in love, sleeping with my memories of you is heaven. So kiss me, little lady. Kiss me until all the stars fall down on our faces. No, whoever's up next has to read about depression.
Okay, so next we have
It's actually a Zoomer. Sorry, Catherine. Alexandra Sorry, it's a Greek. Papopoulou.
It's okay, it's all right. Never mind. Don't worry about the surname. It will be a romantic graphic poem in honor of the evening. Flying, flying, flying. Sitting on the big garden swing in front of our lemon and pomegranate trees, gazing at the sea. Such beauty in my magical world. All my magic, all my world. And my heart beats strong, and I smile tenderly, encouragingly. And my heart beats fast, and I promise to try and follow it. And maybe it's time for the hope to come again. Flying, flying, flying. Still loving you. More and more, knowing you're the one until the end. And my heart beats strong, and I want to follow it. And my heart beats fast, and I want to find a way to follow it. And maybe it's time to look up at the pink and turquoise open skies for the connection. The certainty of the connection. Flying, flying, flying. Still loving you. More and more. Knowing your pure soul until the end. And my heart beats strong, and I follow it. And my heart beats fast, and I find a way to follow it. And it's time for the sweetness, for the satisfaction to come all the way up inside. Flying, flying, flying. Inside our magical world. All our magic. All our world, riding the same wave, jiving, jiving, jiving. And my heart beats strong, and I follow it. And my heart beats fast, and I follow it. I follow it wherever it goes. And it's time for all the believing, for all the feeling of precious. Precious vibrations. Flying, flying, flying. Still loving you. More and more. Knowing our pure souls until the end. And my heart beats strong, and I follow it. And my heart beats fast, and I follow it. Following, following, following. And it's time for us to receive all these pure perceptions. So centering, so comforting, so home. Flying, flying, flying. Still loving each other. More and more. love flowing between us until the end. And our hearts beat strong, and we follow them. And our hearts beat fast, and we follow them. We follow them all the way up our path. And it's time for all our magic, for all our world, for all our magical world.
Andrew, that was lovely. It's like the beginning of like an indie film. It's very nice. Okay, we're gonna have our lady in waiting, our lady in red. This is Margaret. Captain Roman.
I just have to say after that, arriba! my poem is written about Bridget. There's a very popular saint in Ireland, Saint Bridget, but pre-Christian, she was also even more popular. So I tend to go with pagan Bridget. So Bridget, cupped flames of sunbeam and snow, cosmic power of renewal. Sap of oak rises to kiss your fingers. Spring tides bathe your feet. Your sketched moon, fractured sun, first flower of spring in a druid's fist. Born between two thresholds, you hold the hand of all labours. Our Mary of the Gale, we tie magic ribbons and rags to your holy trees, sing songs over ancient rivers. Protector of poets, smiths, healers, we kneel before your mantle of stars. Bridget, carried from Iona to Bethlehem, you inhale the dark, exhale the light.
Catherine, our five-word winner. Okay, next, can we have Mary O'Connell, please, who's on Zoom.
Wow. Woo, thank you.
Hi, folks. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I would be there in person, but I had a very severe fall, so I am confined to barracks. Could I just say that that beautiful illustration of the poem by Alexander was just wonderful. It was like going into a beautiful volcano and all the different colors. Anyway, I won't take up any more precious time. This poem that I'm going to read now is called Bitter Valentine. The Millennium Bear I gave you, we named him Amund after Amundsen, keeps solitary vigil on my bed. Bears were our special joy, though of the polar kind. Unlike the February bears in shop displays that wear their hearts up front. I came upon you late, yet slipped so easily into the life we made. It seemed we always knew a flare of recognition would guide us to our lair. We drove all over France, your mother's birthplace, spicing our repartee with Gallic sayings, trotting out spoonerisms as we bemoaned a lack of ram, or watched a bird of prey dive down in one foul swipe. There were moments of dismay, as when the Fiat Panda stalled, climbing above the snow line on the coat they called bonnet. Those sun-filled days slid downwards as time locked the workshed door where once your hands would magic coils and broken wires to life. Time forced you, your powerful frame, to wedge into a wheelchair, and then into the wicker coffin they lowered into the clay. The bears stare out at me as if they know that this awaited day will be my first without you.
Thank you, Mary. Sorry you couldn't make it, but glad you still read for us. So up next we have Catherine Baden, please.
Hello, thank you so much. It's Baden, I am French, and happy Valentine's, everybody. And I'm going to thank you for putting me on. I have to leave early. So anyway, lovely to be here. And this is called The Stink. She stinks, he said, clearly referring to me. Yes, I thought, you know, I do stink of expensive French perfume and sometimes of the stench of a fine old camembert, its soft, gooey insides oozing from the edges and reeking of poignant memories. Expensive, stinky French cheese normally reviled by the masses. Expensive French cheese which the wealthy liken to finding a honeypot. So sure I stink, but doesn't everybody? My breath stinks, my poop stinks, and oh my God, sometimes my thoughts stink, especially when I have an axe to grind or a load to bear or a bitch to share, a certain heaviness still buried deeply in my chest, and oh my God, it stinks, as in the entire world stinks, where people treat each other as slaves in the marketplace, unaware that freedom was granted many years ago to all who could really accept it. Yet people choose to stay stuck, remaining in their own woe-is-me shit pile so they can mirror the world and stink too. It's a familiar response to a deeply ingrained hypnosis. I ride public transit, and even today, blacks still move to the back of the bus. The concept of good versus evil, the reality of life versus death, that's all there is to deal with. And whether one stinks or not doesn't change the fact. People own their stinks like they own their cars, dusting them off and shining them up each week, then driving down the boulevard proudly for all to see. And sometimes they invite the neighbors to drive with them, sharing in their mutual stinks and glorifying them to each other, for where there are numbers, there is power. Only the power ingrained in us from early on isn't exactly power, is it? Or rather, the perpetually ingrained tapes of self-hatred and self-inflicted pain still. I think if we got it together and all raised a big stink, maybe, just maybe, we could actually help change the world. Thank you for your support.
Thank you, Catherine. So we're going to come back into the room again, and we're going to have Margaret O'Regan, please.
Have you ever entered into a liaison with casual in mind? I have, and this is a poem I wrote to myself as a result. And if you ever do, this might be what will happen to you. It's called Sparks. Did you think once ignited, sparks can be quieted? Did you really believe that you didn't receive the love that enfolded, that became so emboldened? Did you think our creation, once lovingly loosened, could be cast from your bosom, could be purged from your being? Can it really be so, as you saunter and stroll, that your nonchalant mien will not inwardly scream for touchings and strokings and feelings and flowings? Do you really believe the flow can be stemmed when floodgates have opened for gushing explosions?
That's Margaret. Next we have Niall Hearn, who's back from Portugal.
Uh, I haven't been here in like 3 years. It's so beautiful to be here. I've talked about this place to many people. I'm going to do a poem called Cobwebs, which is, I think, about unraveling stuff in your mind. So, spin the cobwebs in your mind, and delicate, let your fingertips hover over their thin lines, and place with the care of a mother's love your hands upon some silky threads that once wove all the previous dread that remains in your head, and under touch, feel how they just peel away, as ever if they could stay, ever stay to conceal what you thought was real, before and before and before and before, when the webs held all that you could bear, and they became heavy with a mind's load, and with every song that was sung and every story that was told, you now hold in your mind. You grew bolder and bolder, and let your thoughts flow into action, and now you stand here, clear of any past pretense to stress this sense of touch, and touch you must. Reach out to grasp the cobwebs in your mind, to reveal what you may find. This shining centre of thought and diction, and in this fiction there's friction, and the fact remains clear to you, my dear, that you just dissolve to solve and let go of the fear, to spin the cobwebs in your mind. So spin the cobwebs in your mind, and delicate, let your fingertips hover over their thin lines, and place with the care of a mother's love your hands upon some silky threads. You can make a bed with these webs. Lie down and clear your mind of any haze, and remember to forget all the past ways and all the past days, because what was, and was, and what is it, it is just it. Understand this, to let the bliss slip as you slide, revealing all you ever wished to hide. And you are naked now, and that bears the question of what it is that's truly stressing your mind. Man, look within, and you can truly, truly find that you are the greater and the creator of both a heaven and a hell, and it's only ever you who can choose where to dwell. So dwell there, and rise to rise there. Come so close to look you in the eye, and by you stop, you release, and you say that goodbye. Because you live now, but never forget that you too must die. So lie down. So lie down. So lie down to clear your mind of any haze, and remember to forget all the past ways and all the past days. Because what was, and what is it, it is just it. Understand this, to let the bliss slip as you slide, revealing all you ever wished to hide. Thank you.
Great, Mel. Great to have you back.
Great to be there.
Okay, we're going to jump back to the internet, and we're going to have Pam Campbell, who's over in America.
Thank you. I'm going to keep the lovely drawing by Max up. And another shout out for the Blue Mondays anthology. Lots of folks here, you've heard their poetry. Okay, my poem is, I color my breast. I color my breast in fairy dust and mud pies, nubs journey child to woman pleasure. I color my breast in newborn coos and suckles, baby pats, and first tooth gnaws. I color my breast in hearth cold, cerulean ash, rock sorrow and keening. I color my breast in dancing fire, cave drawings, amber feathers rising. Thank you.
Okay, next, can we please have Charles Clark?
Tensions are very stiff. Very, very hard. Right.
Nothing that I've written in the last couple of years seemed appropriate, but so I picked up this ancient thing. It goes back to the days when people went in country towns, as I was, went to the films if they could three times a week. And in Dublin had the biggest per capita film audience in the world. But anyway, this is, we know nothing that much. We know something you see about it ever since. I've only once seen a film actually being made. A film, very well-known film, actually. Only once, I think, met a leading director, Joseph Losey, as it happens. So this is, doesn't mean anything, really. Ill-starred movie. We got Igor to do the script slivovitz. Money was dirt alone. Frank was expert on banks, taxes, computers. New York was on the line twice daily. Casting was Tweedale. He wanted Redford, with Streak to play a simple village maiden. Did we choose any of us? Some corny background stuff. Arab courtyards, skiers at Aspen. It was an epic after all. Aspen, we enjoyed. Frank gave us an opera hat. Gave us all an opera hat. He kind of the lever. Good socialist hat, he said of Sturla. We wore it to the restaurant. We had complete faith. We had complete faith in the project.
Thank you, Charles. Next, we're going to stay in the room. Can we have Colin Scully?
Thanks, Jim. I forgot it was Halloween. I'm sorry. I forgot it was Valentine's, so no love for him. I think that's as good as I'm going to get. I'm writing some poems about mythology and Irish mythology recently. So this one, I was up in Leitrim before Christmas at Conor McManus's book launch, and he was showing me the landscape, and the landscape is full of things to do with the Irish mythology and folklore, and then the mountain overlooking Drumshambo, where he comes from, is called Slieven Éireann, Iron Mountain, and apparently this is the mountain where the Tuatha Dé Danann arrived in Ireland. So the Danann were there before the Lycians and the Celts. And so this is it, Slieven Éireann, Iron Mountain. Rustane clay, amber streaked rocks, gutted ridges scar the mountain where mortals mined the elements. Beneath, smoke from the smelters rose above the Drumlin town, curling, intertwining with the plumes of a dozen stills. Coal from a rigna fired red, fusing the ore to iron, while below smiths hammered out the trellised frame of the Halfpenny Bridge. As we rise and watch from our vantage in High Street, the Georgian Terrace, the groggy smoker in the doorway, the American widow walking her dog, the clouds rise gently from the mountain's peak, the reveal where the Tuatha Dé Danann first set their feet down after descending from the sky to a virgin land. Before Norman or Saxon, before Viking or monk, before the Milesians swept in to our western shores. The why of their coming a mystery? Did they look back over their shoulders to whatever doomed world they had left, finding soft footfall at last on a snow-covered Slieven Éireann. Thanks.
Lovely. Anish Arashkadi and Titherleen. Can we have Amy? That's a bit Irish. Titherleen.
Hi. Thanks for letting me share, and excuse the nerves. This is my first time ever at a poetry reading. this poem, I thought I'd go with the theme of love, even though it's not a very happy poem, but here we go. It's called Frozen in Summertime. Under the bower of the monkey tree, I listen to the stream of the weary river. It is as calm as the summer breeze bristling along my back. The warm rays of the sun ignite my soul, but cannot melt the coldness I feel in my heart. Without her, I'm frozen in summertime. The frolicking of the butterflies and bees is met with my solemn frown. When I was in her heart, I did not need the summer's heat. She was my sun. Her love had sprung my buds to growth. It woke my heart from hibernation. It sang sweet chirpings in my ears. I looked at the dew-steeped flowers and wiped the teardrops from my eyes. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. And we're going to stay on the internet and we'll have Brendan Mulcahy, please. Hey.
Hi, everyone. Just wish I could be in Cork. You are having a absolutely brilliant evening. The range of the poems tonight's tremendous, including the sensational readers from UCC. Well done, them. My poem is a tribute to the late Brendan Keneally, a poet I'm very fond of, and there's a reference to a book of his called The Man Made of Rain, which came out just after he had a really serious heart operation in the late 90s. I mean, he went on to live nearly 30 years, so he bounced back. But when we saw him at that time, it was touch and go. The poem is called Stoppage and Flow. High up in the festival hall, on a windswept March night, in the soundproof voice box, in the final year of the millennium, Brendan Keneally enfolds his hearers in a watery tale. He has come through a quadruple bypass and cooked up the man made of rain, visions from the interstice between living and dying. Let me happen to you, said the man. Stopping short of the numinous, still of the earth, the surreal spirit lines shiver into earshot. Should I turn mushroom? In a grammar all their own, by turns exalted and hard as ice. The man contrived from slanting rain, sure isn't it always raining in North Kerry, leaves neither imprint nor leak, precipitates a retrospective soul search, guides our man from Ballylongford to Stephen's Green. Inspired by his pouring visitant, that I may walk again, he recollects a murder in a field near Listowel, a turfy-lipped molester in the west of long ago, a Dublin gangster living with a hammer, and hapless Dulcet Scruffy on his London building site. The time he was clocked on O'Connell Bridge for giving Cromwell right of reply, landing on the hard and damp, his shoulder crashing a stanchion. Shy, behind metal specs, the survivor smiles. Bones and stories, no cotton. Breathes shallowly and resuming is severed by an irreverent mobile phone that misses the moment and rings and rings. He waits, regathers us. There is a now that cannot be grasped, he says, and we who have never been to Listowel concur. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brendan. So next we're going to have Miss Sue Blue.
Thank you, God. I haven't been for ages, and it's so nice to be back seeing all the beautiful people live and in 3D. Oh my God, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Thank you so much for a whale. I'm hiding this behind my script. So the first thing I'd like to do is do just a little plug-in for our beautiful Blue Mondays anthology. The Blue Mondays meet to work on poetry together, and Max has done the beautiful cover, and there's a few of us here, and it's we're selling it in aid of Cork Simon. So 50% of the book go to Cork Simon. There is 14 poets in the book and beautiful drawings and artwork by everybody. And so if you're interested, come on up to me afterwards. Oh, absolutely. I can point it to the camera. If you are interested, come up to me. I have a bunch of books with me. And you can also order it online through bluemondayswriters@gmail.com. So that's for the plug, and thanks very much. And now I'd like to go on to the Valentine's Day. And last year this time, well, actually during the day, I was sitting laboring over this piece and gave it to my lover at the end of the day. So here it is for all of you. Sweet Valentine. My ray of loving sunshine, my sweetest Valentine. With integrity unrivaled, your love gives me a smile. Your shoulders be my strength, and you have helped me grow. Your blue eyes holding mine when life has dealt tough blows. Your humor keeps me laughing, tough hardship and good times. You give with selfless loving that outshines yourself so kind. A guide, your silver wisdom, your skills save us from thieves, and still you tell new stories against life's bitter tears. Your bassy voice is honey, your sexy touch is deep, the knowledge of my body makes me melt beneath your heat. Your romantic love is juicy, as wild as our trust sustains. My ray of loving sunshine, you're my sweetest Valentine's.
I love how you lowered your voice. That was cool.
Bosky.
Not knowing how to use the mic.
Very nice, sexy. Okay, next we have Cedric Bacon, please.
Wow, that one is a Valentine themed as well. Anyone? It's Wanderlust. There is a way through those strange lands where all is thorny, roses, bushes, and hunky trunks, tall buildings, and sassy giraffes, through jungles of all styles. I have crawled it, followed the narrow path, scratching my shoulders, moving slow, moving fast, looking around, hoping to find the one who would not be so hostile. Onwards, determined, innocent by ignorance, I moved forth, unaware that the drought wasn't from exposure to the winds, rather because I had never been sweating. Covering up to avoid being seen, yet yearning to be discovered before being heard. I would soon learn that the word curiosity stems from one's humility. When it happened, I had barely realized I was hit, left with a smile for a smirk, bathing under the light of a lustful sun at its zenith. Endless sands and seas, newfound lands ripe with adventures. The open landscapes welcomed me with a wave leaving me drenched. I was loved for the first time. I was hungry for love and all its crimes, a newborn waiting to be fed. I found myself cradled between the softest dunes and invited to work muscle in the deeper seas, in creeks and corners no one sees. I was barred from some civilizations until I had grown, then able to run from places to place, stealing hearts to feed my own. Before I knew, I was on my way again, a fugitive, hiding in the same bushes that used to cause me pain. I hoped and hope still to be found, led to the rightful environment, where we find the right food in my territorial ground.
Okay, next we have fabulous, the fantastic Philip Spillane.
You're fabulous yourself, Jim.
Phil, spell D, Phil.
Thank you, Rav. So, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I'm sure you've had a lovely day with a significant other or whatever. I wasn't one, so.
I'm
in the category of the whatever. So. The thing is that maybe some.
Enjoy it, my
friend. Here comes a plea for love.
Hang on a minute. Some people write poems about people. I wrote a love poem about the dumb cat roundabout. It's quite a significant oddity of engineering. Fair play to us. Yes. Or what else the Dunkettle Roundabout is made out of. Anyway.
Can you explain the Dunkettle Roundabout to the people that are...
Oh, yes. It's in the poem. The Dunkettle Roundabout is an intersection just out of the Jack Lynch Tunnel on a big, massive motorway that goes right through Ireland. It's on the way to Tipperary and straight up to Dublin. I go there every morning to work, and I wrote a poem as I was going, as we do. The morning smog spools over giant dolmens. A soft rain spiritually blesses a herd of bypassing cars. The motorway, the petrified remains of a serpent. The same one St. Finbar vanquished 100 years ago, 100 miles across, all knotted, coiled, and complicated. As the dolmen chorus is buried under splitting, spitting, moaning, combustible engines vibrating across all the regions of era. I bullet to the Jack Lynch Tunnel, a giant bagpipe drone, and come out the end, stopped, bathed in red, under traffic lights, the brink of the Dunkettle Roundabout. It's the center of chaos. Why five forces fight and spin. If Maeve's forehead is in Sligo, her right ankle sticks out here. If Danu's breasts are in Kerry, her outy belly button comes out here. Where the women of the Silvermong fought and won battles, where Daha built a giant tomb on his way to Mead. When wet swaps were green, I hurl into the merry-go-round. While driving autopilot, I slip into memory. The pub was packed. My pint was on the right hand. A longtime friend embraces the left. And my soul lifts. That was love. Till we let go. And I remember she said, If we lie down, you can hear the humming of the world. Wake up from the daydream on the bones of man and notice that nature has found a way. A single seagull flies up ahead. A hooded crow hops across the hard shoulder. A fox's remains melts into the tarmac. And this all took 2 minutes while leaving the Don Kettle roundabout.
I would love to. Don't ever change film. Yeah. Please.
It's not really a tourist attraction, by the way. It's just a big, massive construction site.
Fabulous. I told you. Okay. So we're gonna jump back to Zoom again to Massimo, who's always over in America.
Hey, thank you again for having me. So always honored to be here. I cannot guard the entrance to this door, but rest assured I am inside forevermore. With the three words we've spent our lives begging for, I love you. But the whole world is just a metaphor for. An open letter I composed to a love in secret gives you the ears of my love as you receive it. See our eyes in your eye as mine meets it. In our darkness, you remind us that the blind see it. Confused your touch in the hush for the kiss of death. Your reach was so deep, I still shake with your caress. Fearing for my life, I clung to every single breath, but you never left. You remain in my every step. Sometimes knowing something perfect makes us nervous when a flawed world is all we have to work with. Or maybe we are the flaws on a flawless surface, and seeing how it's all perfect gives our flaws their purpose. So I race around the mazes of a lazy mind, in between dividers where I lazily recline, feeling homesickness for a place I'll never find, until the day that I say, never mind, staying here forever is fine. But if I said I wasn't tired, I'd be lying. Sometimes it's hope for final rest that keeps me striving. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying. And just being here is a destination I've arrived in. So no more hurrying, no more worrying. What are you searching for with circular journeying? What are you yearning for that's worth being hurt again? And what are you hurting for that won't let you yearn again? No more self-sabotage, no more camouflage, no more battle arms, they won't hide your battle scars. No more battle scars, the battle's in the heart. So stop the battle, love, and just don't battle who you are. No more hustling, no more struggling, and most of all, no more suffering. And if that means no more nothing, then my choice to live mostly speaks to your loving. So lay me down to sleep and let my sleep be sound, whether deep in ground or sound asleep, still I find my soul is found to keep. I rejoice, hear me laugh as I weep, but don't fear the tears. They're here to show you run deep. And happy Valentine's Day. Thank y'all so much. All right.
We're gonna stay on Zoom, our last Zoom poet, and it's all in the room. So the fabulous Augustina, who nearly won the 5-word challenge of that. Are you still here?
Sorry?
I think she's in the book too.
Yeah. Thank you, Max, for this beautiful drawing of me. I'm so grateful. And just plugging the anthology there again. So I'm not going to show my face. You can look at this beautiful drawing. Okay. So this isn't really a poem. I'm really enjoying using writing as medicine these days. So digging up stuff. Here we are. Basic. I literally could never allow myself to ever, ever settle with a person who I can't emotionally connect with and allow myself to be vulnerable around. Again, never, ever. I am just thinking about how much I've tolerated over the years from different people. And I think it's because I got used to the basics and always had the basics and sometimes below the basics. But that's not the person I want to be, accepting breadcrumbs and hot and cold behaviors. I am not basic, don't want to be basic, don't want basic. A friend said, Augustina, you accept abuse because you're used to being abused. Even when you know it's abuse, you make excuses for the abuser and their behavior. There is literally no way and no need to make excuses for people and how they treat you, especially when they treat you badly. I talked to a friend last night and acknowledged what was said, and I played it as my own thought. It was very different saying it out loud to another person, admitting that I accept abuse and make excuses for abuse because my childhood contained abuse and me making excuses and lying for others, lots of hiding the truth and being afraid to tell the truth, severe consequences and blame if I happen to say the wrong truth. I wanted to make excuses for myself because I know how to shut people down. But I found when I get close enough to someone or put them in my mind as a close companion, I let a lot slide because I know that they have their own issues, which actually could be true, but that's no reason to put my own feelings aside and constantly tolerate bad behavior. There is always an opportunity to educate someone on how their behavior is affecting me, right? And I have every right to decide not to associate myself with those who mistreat me over and over and over and over and over again. So yesterday, I stopped feeling guilty about a person I decided to go no contact with. I thought it would take longer, but it was literally a flick of a switch. I just had to finally decide. The universe has forced me to make a decision after umming and ahhing for years. Situations would have it that I finally saw enough to understand what I've been allowing, not just from them, but from others. I also decided that I have to start believing people when they show me who they are. So I'm feeling relieved.
Thank you, Augustina. That was very honest and powerful. Appreciate it. Okay. So the next poet on the list is Patricia Walsh, please. Thank you.
This is my Tent in the Love poem, which I wrote about 20 years ago. It's called Indiscretion. Kiss me while the day still is. Night will surely follow and then we won't know what to do with ourselves. Kiss me while it feels slightly awkward enough to make you can me through. Night will surely follow and then the dark will thunder to face and reason enough to make us break ranks in our senses. Kiss me while there is light outside. I need to walk home when the sodium lights don't offer quite the same protection. Now will surely follow and then I'll be left no more than a thought of you. And when I rise, my heart will be full, shining through the small hours, as it does in Norway, where I can never contain the consequence you have for me.
Thank you, Patricia. Our next reader is Mags Creedon O'Shea.
Do you need the mic lower? walk it up. You can really play much. You didn't play much for me. Joyous of being back in the room, doing it rather than Zoom. And I did a bit of column there the other night. This is just a quick word about my husband, first four lines. My man, he don't say much. Sometimes he says shtum, most of the time. But he can conjure up an azimuth, and he can read the constellations. So he's my star man. Okay, so this is about the love-hate relationship with the windmills, which are quite controversial at the moment, because I'm from the mountainy country of Tregeela. It's very hard to get used to the new skyline and the blight that there is upon them, and they're trying to move on at the moment. But it's a necessary thing, and trying to just come to terms with it. So this I wrote Wednesday morning there, looking out at the dawn, staying with my friends down in Cullamon near Drimaleague. It's just awash with windmills inside my skylight. Dawn. I think we'll get this one up actually. I'll send you my voice. Roll and spin, metal wings, roll and spin, tiny shiny things, roll and spin, rolling winds, metal winds and the cool spring wind.
We have two more Zoom poets who've joined in. So next we'll jump back to the internet and we'll have Cormac Lally, please.
How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. How's it going, lads? Oh, yeah. Great to see real people in a real pub doing real poems. One short one here for you lads to really, really enjoy listening to everyone tonight. Just while we're in the month of Fiora here, this is an imbolg. So this is just one for St. Bridget or Nave Breed. She is the goddess, the midwife, the crone. She is the candle kept lit in the home. The whisper on lips holding infants aloft, invoked at beginnings of fevers and coughs. Daughter of Dogda, the wise and the strong, her escapades vaulted in story and song. Her breath is the touch of life starting in spring, and her bosom the heartbeat of all living things. Her womb is the passage to summon new life. She wept at the flash of death's hand on the life, for children are precious, its soul is a gift, and St. Bridget encompassed this ethereal shift. Her name screamed in labour, delivered messiahs, her shadow shorn shorter to Latin Mariah's, the mother, the virgin, the miracle birth, three kings and their star and the saviour of earth, and all warriors wounded and mortally slain, in agony, ecstasy, all in her name. The healing in herb lore helped human and horse, the listening, the keening, her ties to the Norse, the Germanic and Celtic and Gaelic and Greek, accursed by oppressors, revered by the weak. Her mystical, magical aura of oak, the conquest of Leinster, the cloth of her cloak, it covered vast acres, the lessons for kings, as the wrens of the Curragh have wielded such things. The feminine energy, the yin to the yang, worshipped as Isis, held separate to man. Her cup was the chalice filled rivers and streams. She soothed her husband, she urged on his dreams. Then poverty, papal, pandemic and pain, Bridget, pan-Christianized pagan, remained. All roads lead to Rome at the end of the day, and February 1st till the fair month of May. Gratitude given to the she so enchanted. Don't assume Ishtar will always be granted. For Ireland, her citizen soul still has need of the heroine of, sorry, for Ireland, her citizen soul still has need of the heart of the heroine healer named Breed.
Next up, we're going to have Rab Urquhart.
No one's got an Urquhart.
What is it?
I've got.
It's not, it's Urquhart.
Here's a poem about depression. My anger and frustration leads to my self-devaluation, to degradation, lethargy, and sloth. By sitting, smoking, thinking, procrastinating, and drinking, I get to the place I don't give a toss. And the only thing I've found to consistently make my world go round is work, practice, effort. Call it what you will, and sometimes it's a bitter pill, but still, work, practice, effort leads to true relaxation instead of sitting around chewing off your fingernails with agitation. Work, practice, effort. A haiku for Valentine's. Woman as flower, soft power, coiled dragon sweeps in scented power.
Nice one, Rob. We're going to jump back to Zoom, and we're going to have Matt Mooney. And if anyone else in Zoom wants to read, just put your name in the chat, please. Okay, so Matt Mooney, please.
Right, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Good. The poem is always 18, and it goes back a fair bit in my life to the early days of writing. The clearness of a dream I had in bed last night has dimmed at dawn. I'm awake, remembering. It's dialogue in a deep sleep, now almost vanished in the wash of awakening. In the dream, so real, I swear, she appeared. Into my head as I slept, she crept, always 18. As lovely as I left her at her father's hearth, as we said our last goodbyes to all the years of my unspoken love. Love's labor, I began to say, speaking of the title of a play. But there she stopped me in my midline to finish it herself this time. Love's labor is never lost. Contradicting both Shakespeare and myself, that was the only thing she said as with the dream she left my bed. Thank you.
Big up to Colm Scully there, the only thing you remember that it was Halloween.
You dramatic pause out here.
Just because nobody else has done it for the night that's in it, a poem about a meeting a special someone on a special night. Sitting coy and sipping schnapps, where's the talk of chatterack? Keys jangle to announce the fact, a quarter ounce or so of bag has dropped its tag. A stressed asset has gone forth to become a valued commodity, with traffic heading north. Was waiting for some prodigy to come up to me at source, when up you came to talk to me to see how run the course. Well, waltzing around the room, equal parts gesture and voice, would have done the same again if given the choice. Cans to consume and tunes to make the speakers make noise. Thread on the loom, everyone their dog and their toys. Best to assume you might be on with some boy. Wouldn't rush to presume any sort of loyalty from joy. There are jokes crying out for punchlines and it's become a brawl. Best act on your hunch, sunshine. Get on the floor and crawl. Sidle up next to the fiend with the phone in his hand and foresee some drops to make the free-falling land. Splash around the room pretending to be water. Run a 4-minute mile at a canter. Roll the inside of your hips, chase your smile to every corner. Look squarely at the digits to keep your house in order. Wet your mouth and find the couch, pull pockets for dry paper. Oh, hey there, it's you. What are you doing later? Thank you.
You're on. Next, can we have Carl Holden, please?
How are we, lads? What's the story? It's so good to be here. Oh, goodness. It's been a couple of years for me. Wow. I'm going to give a brief. It's Valentine's Day. The Earth and Moon are lovers. They were one before they split, and now they wander always, joined at the eclipse. I await you here between them, at the meeting of our lips. I would await you here forever, as I already have. And if you spin away again, I'll kiss you as you pass. But if you stay and be my love, garden we shall have, where the stars and all their earths and moons are blooms upon the branch. I want my garden wild, you know, full of birds and song, full of song and birds, full of things, full of you and I, growing softly, without words. Thank you.
Okay, so that's the end of our guests, our open mic. But I have a poem. If you
I'm so surprised.
I know, where did I put this one? I just had it in my pocket, you know? I do, I started.
Go on, go on.
So it's called Wait, I think I've done it before. Waiting for the Escalator to Hell. Everyone you can imagine is a heathen. Feminists, atheists, even the Buddhists didn't make it. And there's a special place in hell for astrologers. I think about all those times I brushed past those Mormon boys, standing in crystal white shirts, shining bright as apparitions. Denying their chance to proselytize, I spent my spiritual pension, floating around like a butterfly, alive for a day, thinking it's forever. The queue to hell is parallel to heaven's golden stairwell, ascending to eternities of cloud-built church halls, where every day is Sunday and they watch screenings from the Christian box office, like Jesus versus Aliens. They sip carbonated holy water and eat unsalted popcorn. I pass hell's gates and see Buddhists on theme park rides, the orange robe of the Dalai Lama billowing in the wind. Feminists at arcade machines playing Rosie versus the Patriarchy. A bunch of gays dance around Satan, a gigantic cross-dresser who stitches pure white souls together in a living chiffon gown that howls and raises eyebrows all around the seven circles of hell. The crowd cheers as he breathes fire at a tower of groaning souls. I ask about the tower and the anguished souls within. I'm told that's for the Catholics. They insisted on it. Thank you. Close.